This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're going to go to the Nemecolon Hotline. The Nemecolon Fan Hotline. The Fan Hotline presented by Nemecolon. Around every corner, Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. And, of course, we're going to be joined now on the Nemecolon Hotline by our good friend, Arthur DeCesar, who has joined us a few times. He does a good job of breaking down games and things of the such. He is the supervisor at the Westgate Superbook in Las Vegas. Arthur, how you doing tonight, sir?
Paul, pleasure to be here on a Friday night with you. And, not a great slate of games in college. No top 25 matchups. NFL is a little weak, but it's still football, and, you know, let's break them down.
No question. But, hey, the biggest and best game of the weekend to people that, are in these parts actually will take place at Heinz Field tomorrow. Pitt is a four-point favorite, believe it or not, against Clemson. Clemson's actually ranked in one of the polls. Pitt's ranked in both of the polls. Clemson's ranked, I think, in the coaches' poll or something. Either way, it's a big game for Pitt, obviously 5-1. People are talking about Kenny Pickett as a Heisman Trophy candidate, things of the such. Four-point favorite over the Clemson Tigers. I know what people around these parts think, but overall, at large, nationally, what kind of vibe do you get from this game?
Yeah, you know, Paul, it's one of those games where you're shocked to see Clemson as an underdog. They've just dominated the ACC over the last 4, 5, 6 years. Pitt has played well. Give Pitt all the credit in the world. They are at home, so they will have an advantage there. I look at it like this. Clemson has been terribly offensively. They just haven't been good. They are 0-6 against the spread this year, so they have not covered one game. The total is the one that jumps out at me. It was 48.5. It's now sitting at 47.5. Like I said, Clemson doesn't score, but they give up 12 points a game. Pitt's offensive numbers are a little inflated because of the schedule. They play some pretty good defense. To me, this game has the makings of a slugfest, 17-14, 21-13 type of games Clemson has played. I don't know if I would feel good laying the points if I was Pittsburgh, but I think looking at the under is the way to go in the game.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson's got a really good defense and a very bad offense. It could be, I don't want to say it's going to be sloppy here, but it could be, a little bit wet and a little bit cold and windy. So that is actually what a lot of people around these parts are thinking. Everyone's cautiously optimistic about Pitt, but they feel like the way to go is bet on a low-scoring game.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm with you on that. I wouldn't feel comfortable. You know, the point spread has moved in the direction of Pitt. It basically was 3. Now you're seeing 4s out there. So that would scare me. I understand Clemson has not covered a spread this year. It still is Clemson, though. They still have a ton of NFL talent on that roster. We know that. This obviously is kind of a, not a program maker for Pitt, but, you know, this is one of the biggest games they've had in the last 5 or 10 years. This will be a big game for Pitt. You know they'll be ready. Obviously having a veteran-type quarterback in Pickett will help them. But I'm with you. I could see this being a very sloppy game, just like all the games that Clemson have played this year. I think under is the move.
Absolutely. Are there any other college games that catch your eye tomorrow?
Absolutely. I think there's a couple that jump out at you. Like I said, no top 25 matchups, but you have undefeated Oklahoma State going on the road to Ames, Iowa. They're playing Iowa State. Iowa State, people forget, they were the 7th-ranked team in the country at the beginning of the year. Iowa State is a 7-point home favorite. people will look at that and go, wow, Oklahoma State, they're the 12th team in the country. They're catching 7 points. This is a clear pros versus Joes, sharp side, public side. The sharps are going to take Iowa State. They're going to lay the number. All the public bettors are going to look at Oklahoma State and say, I'm going to take the touchdown. I think the number is very telling. That's a game definitely to keep your eye on. And then Michigan. You know, Michigan is a top 10 team again. I think they're sixth in the country. They have kind of a look-ahead spot. They have Michigan State on deck next week, which is another top 10 team. Obviously a big rivalry game. They're at home laying 24 against Northwestern, who hasn't been good, but they always play well for Fitzgerald. So to me, that's kind of a big line where it's a look-ahead spot. So I could see Northwestern staying within that number.
Well, and I think that's the thing. It's going to be very interesting to see this Michigan team. As you know, Jim Harbaugh has been a guy that's promised a lot and not delivered a lot. But so far, so good with this team. And I think this is the kind of game they have to prove who they are by going out and winning it.
No, for sure, Paul. And they have to do that. And I don't think they won't take care of business. I do believe they will. You know, this isn't a vintage Northwestern team. Northwestern usually, you know, they're a team that can win 7, 8, 9 games in a season. They're 3-3 right now. They've not had a good year. Michigan obviously is feeling good. Harbaugh is, you know, trying to give all these promises he's given to everyone. But Michigan has a real gauntlet coming up here in the Big Ten. They might overlook Northwestern a little bit. So I just think it's a big number. Total is low, too. Total is under 50. When you have a total like that, they're saying it's going to be a lower scoring game for college football, and you're going to be getting 24 points. So I think Northwestern is apt for a second-half backdoor cover at some point.
Well, I was going to it's a game out there in your neck of the woods, kind of. Well, and the line that puzzles me, and maybe you can, you know, make some sense of it, Oregon, who's 10th in the country, is at UCLA, and UCLA is a 1-point favorite. And UCLA, if you look at what they've done, you know, they lost to Fresno State, they lost to Arizona State. I mean, you have to make some sense out of that line for me.
Okay, so this is the way you got to look at it. Outside of what they did, I believe it was week 2 by beating Ohio State, Oregon hasn't looked good. They just haven't. They basically escaped last week against Cal, I believe it was. They have some injuries. UCLA has had a pretty good season. This is, I want to say, the 4th year maybe for Chip Kelly. So 4-2, UCLA is on the rise. They look okay. It has been nothing but UCLA money. It really has. So I think it's just one of those games where us as bookmakers look at it and say, this is basically a toss-up game. It can go either way. Oregon doing what they did week 2 against Ohio State maybe was more about Ohio State not being ready early in the season and Oregon taking advantage of that. The sharper players have taken UCLA. The public will be in kind of what you said, saying, hey, that's the 10th team in the country. I can get a point, maybe plus 105 on the money line. Why don't I take a chance with Oregon? But to me, that is a very toss-up game. I wouldn't bet the game personally, but I could see UCLA not, you know, they're going to say it's an upset because they're the 10th ranked team in the country, but point spread wise, they are the favorite, so it's really not an upset.
Okay, well, the other game I was going to ask you about, because it involves a team that you're probably pretty familiar with out your way, USC. I know they have the coach, change, and it's been a mess out there. Again, they're at Notre Dame. It's only a 7-point game. It feels like Notre Dame should be favored by more.
It does, but we always are going to take a lot of USC money. We just do. We just take USC money. We have a lot of people who come in from California for the weekend. Just always the way it's been. Obviously, Notre Dame is Notre Dame. They're going to take a lot of money as well because they are obviously a public team. Everyone around the country knows Notre Dame. There's a lot of Notre Dame fans. It is a rivalry game. We know that. USC has been a mess, but you know, Notre Dame hasn't been that great either. I think that line sitting where it is at 7 is kind of where it should be. Most people might look at it and say it should be a little bit higher, maybe go 10, 10.5. But I think it's sitting at 7. Once again, you know, we're not trying to predict what's going to happen with it. We're trying to get equal betting. So the people who like Notre Dame say, hey, I'm only laying the touchdown. The people who like USC are going to say, I'm getting the touchdown on a rivalry game. So we're just trying to get the split action and move on.
Well, I got you. I mean, I think that's one that's one of those things where that game is one I won't quite understand. But let's move on to the NFL, Arthur. We're talking with Arthur DeCesar. Arthur, let's move on to the NFL. Is there anything that's intriguing? I know it's not a great slate of games on Sunday, but is there anything intriguing to you on Sunday?
Absolutely. Yeah, not a great week for games. There's a couple that stand out. Chiefs and Titans is a very good game. It's been nothing but Chief money. Chiefs are now at 4.5. The Chiefs have covered a couple of games here in the last couple of weeks, but dating back to last year, basically over their last 20 games, they basically covered like 5 games. So it's tough to figure with the Chiefs. They just don't cover games. The Titans are a good team. They got a really good win on Monday night. They obviously will be on a short week playing on Monday night. This is a big game for them. You know, Chiefs are 3-3, so it's a big game for them as well. Nothing but Chief money early. And then a big divisional game in, you know, a division you guys are familiar with. Cincinnati at Baltimore. Baltimore's looked like one of the classes of the NFL. And Cincinnati sitting at 4-2 is obviously a surprise. A lot of sharp money came in early in the week on Cincinnati. Cincinnati was +6.5. It's now down to 6. So this is going to be one of those divisional games, slugfest games. A lot of people are apt to take the points. Baltimore's had a couple spots, too, where they could have lost. So interesting to see Cincinnati getting money because you haven't seen that a lot lately, but people believe in Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. Baltimore's a 6.5-point favorite here. At home, over-under is 46. I don't know. Both of those lines make me very suspicious because I would think the over-under would be a little higher, and I would think that the spread would be a little closer.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the over-under in that game, the Bengals have played 6 games. They've had 1 game go over. Bengals' defense is kind of underrated. You know, everyone talks about Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow and that high-flying pass duo, but the defense has been a little underrated. People aren't talking about them. And Baltimore always plays defense. You know, they always have kind of a slug-it-out type of defense, and they like to run the ball with Lamar and just what they do. So I think because of the divisional game and teams know each other and the way Cincinnati plays some better defense, I could see the game going under. I actually think Cincinnati's worth a look getting the 6, 6.5, depending on what you get it at. Because at some point, Baltimore is apt to just maybe give one of these games up or maybe only win the game by a field goal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing. You know, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, this will be a good test to see where the Bengals are. You know, give me one other game to kind of look at this Sunday. I know the Chiefs-Titans, you said, and the Bengals-Ravens. Is there any other game that – you know, it looks to me like there's a lot of good teams playing really bad teams.
Well, yeah, you know, in the late window, you have a bunch of double-digit, you know, games. You got Arizona, basically 17.5-point favorites. Tampa's a big favorite. I think the Sunday night game is interesting. Colts at San Francisco. Colts right now are getting 4 points. Colts have been a very public underdog this week. San Francisco is coming off a bye. Looks like Garoppolo will start. The Colts are better than their record shows. I believe the Colts are 2-4. They've had some games they could have won. So they're better than their record shows. I think that's why the public is taking the Colts. But it's a tough game to figure because you're looking at it and you're saying, well, San Francisco hasn't been that good. Why are they a 4-point favorite? You know, it should be the traditional home team -3, maybe even a 2.5. So that game is a little fishy to me. And they're coming off the bye. Maybe San Francisco gets a little bit healthier. I don't know Kittle's status at the moment. He's obviously been banged up, but Colts are a very public dog this week.
Okay. Well, that'll be something to look at. And, of course, you know, every week there's just more and more stuff, and hopefully we can have you come on with us again. But before we let you go, Arthur, let us know who you are and where you're at. And, you know, maybe, you know, if people want to come out to Vegas, what they can expect at the Westgate Superbook.
Absolutely. And Paul, thank you for having me on. It's always fun to, you know, break down some games and have a little bit of fun. But yeah, you know, I'm one of the supervisors over at the Westgate, the famous Superbook. Anytime anyone's in town and they want to come and visit the Superbook, please. I've had so many people come in, you know, shows I've done, and come and ask for me. Always come and ask for Arthur Caesar. I'm more than happy to help you, talk you through stuff, you know, help you maybe set up an app or get some seating or free drinks or whatever you need. So if you come down to Vegas and you come to the Superbook, please ask for me. I'm always there to lend a helping hand.
All right, Arthur, thank you so much, sir.
Anytime, Paul. I appreciate you.
All right, brother. That's Arthur DeCesar on Paul's Ice. It's 93.7 The Fan. Let's go to the Fan Hotline presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates life magic for guests. And we are going to be joined by our good friend from Pennsylvania Sports Network, Midday Show, Joe Lednowski. Hi, Joe.
What's up, Zeiser? How are you, bud?
I cannot complain at all. And, you know, it's the end of the year in terms of the golf season, but there are still some of these tournaments going on. And, you know, what do these tournaments actually mean, seeing as all the big stuff has been handed out already?
Well, I mean, it's part of the wraparound season. So, any, you know, a win now, which, you know, would have done a lot of good for Rory. But some of these are FedEx Cups, some of them are not. But, you know, obviously wins are wins. Excuse me. And you stack them up in the wraparound season. Usually there's, you know, lesser fields. Now, the Bridges and the Zozo, some of those are paid events. As you know, you wonder why, you know, Justin Thomas is gotten a couple of nice checks to go over there and compete, but certainly it's golf, you know, it's nice weather other places, not just here, maybe.
Well, that's true. You made a good point last weekend. Going into Sunday, Ricky Fowler had a lead, and you basically said Ricky Fowler cares more about being famous than he does in terms of, you know, then actually winning and being the, you know, the player that he really could be. So the question then becomes, you know, is he just going to be one of these guys that always hangs around in the top 20 or 30 and, you know, not much more?
Well, I just wonder if he's not, you know, a step closer. You know, he's not that old, but you got to wonder, you know, is he not a step closer to the broadcast booth? Well, you know, with Golf Channel trying to do more and more live stuff, you know, he really is a great what could have been. You know, I don't know if it was he got married or all the endorsement deals or what, but, you know, he was, for the longest time, he was the next best thing. And now he's nothing. I mean, he's very rarely, other than, you know, other than his attire, and you see a lot of fans, you know, rocking Puma. And, you know, again, you got to give him credit. You know, he put Puma Golf on the map. You could probably make the argument that he brought King Cobra back, you know, back to life. But certainly now, I think more often than not, if you're going to see him on Sunday afternoon when you're watching golf, it's going to be on a commercial, not in the leaderboard.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, and he's really done it that way. But, well, Joe, we're about, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood of halfway through the college football season. And, you know, it looks like we might actually have some different teams in the playoff. You know, what are your thoughts on the way that it's gone so far?
Well, I mean, I think this year more than ever, the SEC is not nearly as good as, you know, people would have you think. You know, I think it is, and maybe it's my bias in the way I see it, but, you know, obviously, you know, you look at, you know, Texas A&M and what they did to Alabama. And, you know, everybody reminds them that, you know, they were a team that was, you know, top five in the beginning of the year. And, you know, they're better than we thought they were, blah, 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 blah. But what they don't tell you is they beat, I guess now, a 2-4 Colorado team 10-7. I mean, you know, A&M has not been any good. They beat Alabama with a backup quarterback and a couple of backup offensive linemen, right? And, you know, Alabama didn't really have to pay the price. You know, you look at, you know, even the ESPN power rankings, not that they necessarily matter, but, you know, they feed the perception. You know, Clemson, they still have Clemson as, you know, I mean, Clemson is really abhorrent on offense. They're terrible. I mean, they just cannot – they should have lost that game. You know, Dino Babers really, you know, looked like Mike Tomlin with clock management last Friday night. That's a game that absolutely Syracuse should have won. We'll see how Clemson is tomorrow at Heinz Field. You know, the Big Ten East might be as good as there is. You look at, I don't think Michigan State and Michigan are necessarily as good, but certainly they're a lot better than they've been. I don't think Iowa's done yet. You know, they're still going to have an opportunity for the benefit of that schedule. I think the most amazing storyline, and, you know, this to me is, you know, we've seen, you know, is there bias, blah, 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 blah. We see that every year. But can you think, Paul, of another time in your life that a preseason Heisman Trophy favorite got benched?
Yeah, I would have to think about it, but no, it's been a long time for sure.
I mean, that's Spencer Rattler, you know, and then and one that really bothers me is that, you know, somehow in a game and a half, Caleb Williams has a better odds to win the Heisman than Kenny Pickett. There's no way a guy that only starts five games, I don't care if they go to the national championship game or not, he cannot win the Heisman Trophy, can he?
Well, I mean, anything's possible, and I think the big thing they'll point to is the fact that, you know, the Oklahoma offense was brutal, you know, just not good at all. And then all of a sudden they bring in this new kid, and all of a sudden they're, you know, going crazy. You know, and here's the other thing Kenny Pickett doesn't have going for him, I guess. You know, they still have, you know, ranked Baylor opponent. They still have a ranked Oklahoma State opponent. And then they probably are, you know, Iowa State could be ranked again by then. And then, of course, whoever they play, you know, probably Oklahoma State or Baylor again, they're gonna play four or five ranked teams down the stretch here. Whereas Pitt legitimately could be 12-1 and not have a single win over a ranked opponent. And I think that is something.
Well, you want to hear, you know, something that I find that's highly entertaining. So, you know, Grayson McCall, the Coastal Carolina quarterback, has the highest completion percentage in America. You know who has the second highest completion percentage in America?
Kenny Pickett.
Spencer Rattler. Not going to drop anytime soon. Can you believe he has the second highest completion percentage in the country? And he got benched.
Well,
that's unfathomable.
Right,
right. Their offense was awful clunky.
But what does that tell you about how important completion percentage is in terms of a stat?
I don't know. The highest completion percentage in the NFL belongs to Kyler Murray, and they're the only undefeated team in the NFL, so it's got to count for something, right?
Right, but my point is if you throw a bunch of short passes and don't advance the ball and get first downs, you know, I'm not sure what that matters. You know, I think completion percentage is a good it's a good number, but I don't know that it's really that significant. I think most guys are probably, you know, any good quarterback is probably within the same neighborhood. But so if you look at it, I mean, Penn State has to play Ohio State and Michigan has to play Michigan State next week. So there'll be some, some of this will just sort of take care of itself, won't it?
Yeah, it will, and you know, I think hopefully for the Big Ten's sake, it's not total chaos, and they don't, you know, cut themselves all out of it because they all have a loss or in some instance two losses. But I will just say this about Penn State: two things. One, the health of Sean Clifford is the only thing that matters. Really, really, legitimately, is the only thing that matters. I know he practiced a little bit this week. I don't anticipate him playing. There's no way Christian Veiu and Taquan Roberson or some combination of the two are going to go into Columbus and pull off an upset. But I will say this, because there's a lot of Pittsburgh guys on this list. The one thing that is different about Penn State this year that has never been the case is that they've got at least three and possibly four and eventually probably more like six or seven NFL players in their secondary. You know, that Penn State, believe this or not, Penn State has never, ever, ever had a DB go in the first round, which is really rather remarkable when you think about all the guys they put into the league. But, you know, Jaquan Brisker's, you know, might mean Kyle Hamilton. I know everybody loves him, but, you know, Brisker, the kid from Gateway, is the second best. But I mean, he's an All-American safety. Jair Brown, I think, is going to play in the NFL. Tyreek Castro-Fields' stock, you know, goes up and down. Joey Porter Jr. is going to be a first-round pick. The kid that I think is the real, real impressive kid that really none of us really knew anything about is your boy Daquan Hardy from Penn Hills. That kid is a playmaker. And that's the one thing that, you know, Penn State has never had And when you think about when they run up against the likes of an Ohio State, and they got all that NFL talent on the perimeter, and we know they do with Olave and the like, but Penn State never had NFL secondary guys running with them. That's not the case this year, Paul. So, again, generally speaking, a game comes down to five or six plays, and it happens from the skill guys. This go around anyway. You know, Penn State's got a boatload of NFL talent in the back end of their defense.
No question. There is no question about it. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. People have asked the question about Pitt, and if they go 12-1, do they have a chance at the playoff? I would say it would take. I couldn't even come up with a scenario where a 12-1 Pitt team with maybe one, win over maybe a team ranked in the 20s and a horrendous loss, how a team with that profile would make it to the playoffs. But maybe you've got a road that would make sense.
Well, obviously they're going to need chaos. I don't think a two-loss team gets in over them. Being a Power Five, champ. Because let's be honest, Clemson has been the beneficiary of basically the same schedule the last how many years, and never really had to pay the piper for it.
So, yeah, but Clemson at least would always play a game against a Georgia or an Auburn or somebody like that. They would at least have something, and they always played as a South Carolina at the end. And of course, South Carolina's been up and down, but they've always played at least two SEC teams. I mean, Pitt's non-conference is UMass, Western Michigan, who they actually lost to, a bad Tennessee team, and who's the other team they even play? Whoever it was,
New Hampshire.
I'm just saying, I think that Pitt's schedule actually is so bad that a two-loss Alabama team would be put in over them.
But here's the problem with that, and unless it's a scheduled rivalry game, I don't think that you can reward a team. Is it Pitt's fault? Back in '97, when T. Martin was coming off a national championship. When Pitt scheduled this game, because they scheduled so far out, how was Pitt supposed to know that Tennessee was going to stink?
But you can only go by who they're playing. You can't go by what their name is. That's the.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that the whole argument that the 12-team playoff is going to ruin the regular season, I think is nonsense. Because anytime somebody says, well, look at the eye test, the eye test is nonsense. What's the point of the regular season if you're 12-1 and you win your conference championship and you win your the conference championship game outright, and then people are going to get in a room and say, a two-loss Alabama team is better. Well, the only reason a two-loss Alabama team is better in your eyes is because you're functioning under the assumption that the SEC is superior. That's the only reason we ever go down this rabbit hole is, it's the SEC. They get a lot of guys drafted. I understand that. But, again, how good can Alabama possibly be when they lose to a backup quarterback at Texas A&M, a Texas A&M team that beat a god-awful Colorado team 10-7?
But, again, at the end of the day, Alabama's going to play, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then say they play Georgia. That would be five ranked opponents. Pitt's played none. That's my point. And I think the other thing, and we got to get out of here, as you know, it's radio and we're up against it, but how about a 12-0 or I guess, I don't know, 13-0, maybe 13-0 Cincinnati versus a 12-1 Pitt?
I sort of hope we get a Peach Bowl matchup if Penn State Ender Pitt doesn't make the playoff. I think that'd be a nice I've seen that projection. Cincinnati's got some wins. They really need to be a big fan of Notre Dame. That's their big win. Indiana, without Penix Jr. being 100%, I think they're going to absolutely get boat raced tomorrow night by Ohio State. So some of Cincinnati's, better wins, they need to be big cheerleaders of those teams if their resume is going to carry the day. Because you and I both know, it's a made-for-TV event, and the last thing ESPN wants is, quite frankly, Pitt or Cincinnati anywhere near the college football playoff.
There's no question about it. Joe, I appreciate you taking some time, sir, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
All right, Zach, to be well, my friend. Thank you, bud.
All right. That's Joe Ladnowski, Pennsylvania Sports Network. Midday show. It's 93.7 The Fan. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. Well, it's a very interesting discussion. You know, again, here's the thing. That the problem that you have, and we get into these discussions all the time, we get into these arguments all the time, don't we, when it comes to this playoff thing. And again, I'm with Joe. I don't mind it's, you know, at least an 8-team playoff is fine. You know, I've always said 8 teams get you to where you need to go. You know, now if you go 8 teams, you're basically talking about 5, you know, conference champs. You're basically talking about the best of the, you know, of the other 5 or group of 5 or whatever the hell they call those other conferences. And you're 2 wild cards. So if you looked at it this year, as things were to stand right now, okay, your 5 automatic bids would be Georgia, Oklahoma, Michigan, because they're undefeated in that conference, Oregon, and Wake Forest. The group of 5 automatic bid would be Cincinnati. And then your 2 at-larges would be, right now, Alabama and Ohio State. I mean, game, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you could put together a pretty good field right there, right? But if you want to go to 12, I get it. But right now it's not at 12. So here's what you got to ask yourself. Okay, Cincinnati's really good. Okay? They beat Miami of Ohio, Murray State, a really, really bad Indiana team. They beat Notre Dame. Okay, good. That's a good win. My beloved Temple Owls, who are really bad. Central Florida, Navy, Tulane, Tulsa, South Florida. Then they do play SMU, which I guess that could be an interesting game. And, you know, and then ECU, East Carolina. For some reason, it looks like they don't play Houston. So they're not going to play Houston, who's the second best team in their conference. Well, SMU, whatever. My point is, it's hard to project that. And if you win all your games, you win all your games. But you mean to tell me if Alabama, you know, were to go all the way and win the SEC title, which would mean they have 1 loss, they win it by a field goal over Georgia. You mean to tell me Georgia with 12 is 12-1, and their loss is by a field goal in a, you know, a neutral site against Alabama? You're going to tell me that you'd take Cincinnati over Georgia? Come on, man. Come on, man. If you're saying that, you're only saying that because you know, think it's the right thing to say. There's no way. And, you know, it's just you want to tell me you're going to take Cincinnati over the ACC champ? Yeah, I'll buy that. Unless it's Wake Forest. You know, Wake Forest is still undefeated. If Wake Forest goes 13-0, then they should be in the playoff ahead of Cincinnati, because they did it in a power conference. But my point is, you know, as you look at this, there's got to be some semblance of sanity when you rank these teams and when you look at how they're ranked and where they fit and everything else, right? In Georgia, you know, for whatever you want to say about the SEC, and I know a lot of people hate the SEC and they think it's overrated or it gets too much love and all the other stuff, I mean, Georgia, they're one, you know, they're ranked number one right now. They beat Clemson, who I guess that doesn't really mean that whole lot. They beat Arkansas, who is falling on some hard times, I think. They've been okay. They beat Auburn, who is okay. They beat Kentucky, who's good. They've got Florida, you know. I mean, and then they would have to go to the SEC title game. There's a lot of games in there that I don't know where Cincinnati would fit. I'm just saying, if Georgia were to go 12-0 and then lose in the SEC title game by, you know, a field goal to Alabama, I have a hard time putting Cincinnati in ahead of them. I just do. And so I feel like that's where we're at with all of these things. You know, there's some teams, though, that people are sort of forgetting about in all this stuff. You know, I think that, for instance, Oklahoma State, they're undefeated. Well, what if they run the table? Do they jump over some of these teams? Obviously, they jump over Oklahoma because they beat Oklahoma, but they're going to have to beat Oklahoma twice. Penn State, you know, they still have three games against top 10 teams coming up, and then they probably have to play Iowa, who's 11th again. If they win those four games, they should be in. You know, there's a lot of football left to be played. And I think that's what people need to realize and remember. But the other part of it is, I have a hard time putting a team like Cincinnati in over a lot of these teams at the top. I just do. You know, now maybe if Notre Dame continues to win and continues to run the table, you know, and finishes it out and gets, you know, ranked in the top six or seven or whatever. But, I mean, I with all due respect, Notre Dame was lucky to beat Florida State. They were lucky to beat Toledo, okay? They lost to Cincinnati. They were lucky to beat Virginia Tech. I don't know how good they are. The rest of their schedule is North Carolina, Navy, Virginia, Georgia Tech, and Stanford. I mean, it's just not a whole lot to get excited about. So, to me, it's kind of interesting, but I think a lot has to go right for Cincinnati to get in. And I think that's probably correct.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.